I'm going to have a slide here come up here in just a few moments. And I want to see if you can identify the individuals on this slide. There should be probably five or six. I think there's five individuals on this slide. And I would like to know if you can identify the five individuals on this slide. And we will endeavor to go in order, and so that we can get them. We will start on this corner, and we'll move across to the center, and then we'll come down back to this bottom corner and across and see if we can identify these individuals that are on this slide. So bring up the slide, please. Okay, we're going to start with the top guy on this side. Does anybody know who that guy is? His name is Riff Raff, okay? Riff Raff, okay? How about the guy on this corner over here? His name is Overcat, okay? So we got Riff Raff and Overcat, okay? What about the guy in the middle? Simon Bar Sinister, okay? So we got Riff Raff and Overcat and Simon Bar Sinister. How about this guy down here? Cad Lackey, okay? This guy's name's Cad Lackey, okay? So we got, Riff Raff, there won't be any quiz, but you might want to know this for trivia night or something. So you got, I'm serious, okay? Riff Raff and Overcat and Simon Bar Sinister and Cad Lackey. How about the guy on the other corner? Huh? He's the general, Marblehead General from the planet Granite. Okay? So if you got this now, we have Riff Raff and we have Overcat and we have Simon Bar Sinister and we got Cad Lackey and we got the General Marblehead from the planet Granite. Do you know where these people exist in our world? Do you know where they're the villains that was always showing up in someone's life, and someone was endeavoring to get these villains out of the lives of the people? Does anyone know who these are the villains? Who are the nemesis of what character were these people? Yeah, push the next slide. Yeah, underdog, right? I'm totally serious, okay? Underdog was the one that was working to remove these characters, these villains, and these opposition from people's lives. He worked hard. Underdog worked all the way from 1964 to 1973. He worked hard to keep these people out of the lives of other people. He was bent on removing the opposition from people's lives. But the challenge to me was Underdog only removed opposition out of people's lives. Every other day of the week, he shined Jews. And I always wanted to know there was more to it. However, the truth is, just because the opposition is removed does not automatically cause forward movement. He would just show up when the opposition was there. But just removing opposition from our lives or from the lives of other people, just destroying the opposition, does not cause forward movement. I've had that temptation in my life. I've had people step on my family and step on people that I care the most about. And I'm telling you, I got this little ticker tape that runs across behind my eyes. Destroy them. But the reality is, just removing opposition does not cause forward movement. Come on, Underdog. Show up on the rest of the days of the week. Come on, Underdog. Do something. Come on, Underdog. Just don't show up when there's opposition and just remove the opposition and then go back to your shining the shoes. It takes more than removing the opposition to cause forward movement. It takes more than removing the opposition to move forward. It takes faith and strength and direction and wisdom and fortitude and grit and dot, dot, dot. We can't just remove the opposition in life and expect us to be able to move forward. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in just removing opposition. I'm interested in going forward. And sometimes, perhaps, opposition needs to be removed. But just removing that doesn't cause me to move forward. I want to move forward in my life. In this life, I want to move forward. I want to walk with God. I want to know the face of Jesus. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to move with Him. And I know that that's going to take faith. And that's going to take strength. And it's going to take direction and wisdom and fortitude and grit. Etc. There was a guy in the Bible named Epaphras who knew how to fight for people. He knew how to fight for people. And I want people like Epaphras fighting for me, and I want to be Epaphras fighting for those around us. He's one of the 3,000 plus characters in the Bible. We don't know. It's kind of like Tychicus last week. We don't know too much about him, but Epaphras knew how to fight for people. He wasn't just the underdog who showed up when the opposition was there. He was fighting for them day in and day out. He was fighting for you and fighting for me. He was fighting for the church. And he didn't have a cape and he didn't have a phone booth. He had knees and he had a connection with God. And he was fighting for the church. In Colossians 4:12, it says this, Epaphras, who is one of you, which means he's from Colossae. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. And then we got this parenthetical right in the middle of the verse. He always wrestles in prayer for you. He's always fighting for you. He's one of you. And he's a servant of Christ Jesus. He says hi, but beyond that, he is fighting for you. He is wrestling. He is doing battle in the heavenlies for you. You need to know that someone is fighting for you. Not just removing the opposition in life, but really fighting for you. Paul says, you got to know, Colossae, you got to know, church, that you got an Epaphras in your corner. And even though he's not there with you today, you got to know he's fighting for you. He is a servant of Christ Jesus, and he is always fighting. He's always wrestling in prayer for you. The verse goes on to say, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling or fighting in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God. He said he's fighting that you would be able to stand firm in the will of God. The will of God, my definition of the will of God is this: God's commanded and preferred course of being and doing. God's commanded and preferred course for me to be and for me to do. God's commanded and preferred course of life for me to be in life and for me to do in life. The will of God. He said, I'm fighting for you. He's fighting for you. That you would stand firm in the will of God. God's commanded and preferred being, you being, and you doing. I had a guy challenge me one day. He said, you know what? You're a human being, not a human doing. You need to take a chill pill. And God says, I want you to be, and I want you to do. I've commanded you to be, and I've commanded you to do, and I've commanded you to my preferred course for you. And Epaphras says, church,
I want you to stand in that. I want you to stand in that preferred and commanded desire of God for you to be and for you to do. Oh, there'll be oppositions, he says. And this will deal with the opposition in your life, but it also will move you forward. It also will give you what you need to move forward. So I'm fighting for you. I'm wrestling in prayer for you. I want you to be able to stand firm in the will of God, in his preferred and commanded course of being and doing in our lives. Because it'll mature. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. See, that's the two things that the will of God's going to do. It's going to mature you and mature me. It's going to make us, perfect us. It's going to strengthen us. It's going to mature. It's going to help you grow up. One of the greatest challenges that I see in some people's lives is that they're 40 years old and they act like they're 13. And I just want to scream, will you grow up? Can you look in the mirror? You're shaving every day. You're not 13 anymore. And Epaphras says, I'm fighting for you to stand in God's will. And God's will, his preferred and commanded being and doing for you, will mature you, will grow you up. And make you fully assured, fully confident of the truth. The will of God will mature us and give us full confidence. You and I can accomplish everything that God wants us to do. Do you believe me? Paul said this to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I don't know about you, but that's what my final words are. Other than maybe to Cheryl or to my family, I love you, but I want to say this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. You know how he could do that? Because he was standing firm in the will of God. That was maturing him and giving him full confidence in the truth. Am I making sense today? Amen. Underdog can show up. And he can beat back Simon Bar Sinister. And he can overcome the marbleheads from the planet Granite. But Epaphras says, I'm fighting for you. That you will stand firm in the will of God. That will make you mature. That will grow you up and give you full confidence in the truth. Then watch what happens. Said, I want you to stand. Will you and I stand? Will we stand in God's will? That's the question. Epaphras is aching for his people to stand in God's will. Let me just visit just a little bit this morning. Let me visit Romans 12. The will of God. Let's put some definition to the will of God this morning. And listen, I'm going to go through, this is kind of like shopping at Walmart, okay? Somebody asked me, do you know there's a shopping cart on the platform? I went. And I know I can't, this is like me shopping at Walmart. Price, if you want a good price, don't send me, because I have one mission, get in there, kill it. Field dress it, drag it out, put it in the car, take it home. And I know sometimes the messages are quick. We're going through 21 verses in the next 12 minutes. But let me just uncap a little bit of what the will of God, what Epaphras wants you to stand firm in, because it'll mature you and make you confident of the truth. Woo! So here we go. Brimley asked me the other day, "Pap, why do you walk so fast?" I don't know. But let me walk through these verses and just try to unpack just a little bit. Maybe just fill the card up a little bit this morning of what God's will is. What will mature us and what will make us confident of the truth so we can move forward in life. Not just having underdogs show up and remove the opposition from our life, but truly moving forward in life. Romans says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy." And again, I know some of you can quote that from heart. I know some of you know this. I know some of you might be tempted right now to say, "I know this. I'm not asking if we know it. I'm asking if we're doing it." You could quote a lot of verses, but are we living them out? And he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And resisting the temptation of going back from chapter 1 to a chapter 11 just to cover the therefore. Just let me throw out a couple things that therefore stands for. Why the therefore is therefore? Because it's part of God's will. We come up to chapter 12, but God's unpacked a lot of his will. And he said, if you can stand firm in this will, watch what it'll do in your life. You will no longer be taller, but you'll be mature.
Come on now.
And he says this earlier in Romans. "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man or woman whose sins the Lord will never count against him." Just so you know, God's will is that we will be forgiven. He said, "I want you to stand in forgiveness. I know you've jacked up your life. I know your sin has separated you from me. I know that. And what I need to do is have you stand in my forgiveness. Watch what that'll do. Watch how that will mature you. Watch how that will give you confidence of the truth. You need to stand in my forgiveness. The first thing that God wants you to do is stand in forgiveness. Because if we don't stand in forgiveness, the rest of it doesn't matter. We'll never get it. Will you stand?" He said, "I'm going to mature you and I'm going to make you confident of the truth. Stand in forgiveness. I care a lot less about where I have been than where I am today. And maybe like Paul, I am saying, forgetting what is behind, I strive forward to take a hold of that for which Christ took a hold of me." And we will never take a hold of it if we keep resisting the forgiveness of God. And we will get taller and we will still be 13. And we will get taller and we will be 12. And we will get taller and we will be 11. And we will get taller and we will be 10. We will never mature. God says, "My will is that you will stand in my forgiveness." And I know I got to get moving because the shop at the store is going to close. And we haven't only covered the therefore, half of the therefore. He, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sin and raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. God's not mad at you. The world or the enemy will try to get you to stand in that God is mad at you. God is not mad at you. "My will," God says, "is that you will have peace with God. You know that you stand in the peace that you and I have. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're standing in my forgiveness. Will you load into the cart? Peace. And stop believing that God is mad at you. He said, you'll never mature thinking that God is mad at you. He's not mad. Verse 2 says this, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's will is that we would be transformed. You see how that matures us? You see how that works now? See, that makes perfect sense to me. When God's word starts making sense to me, man, I can really sink my teeth in it. And other times I'm saying, God, I don't have any idea what you're saying, but I'm going to sink my teeth into you anyway. But it makes sense to me, this does. That I would stand in his forgiveness, that his will would be that I would stand in his forgiveness, and that his will would be that I would stand in the peace that I have with him. And his will would be, now allow me to transform you inside of that forgiveness and inside of that peace that you have with me. Allow me to begin to transform you. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world. What the heck do they know about you? They're going to try to tell you to do all kinds of things. They got nothing invested in you. He said, my will is that you would be transformed and allow that and allow me to mature you. Verse 3 says, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. God's will is that we would see ourselves as God sees us. And listen, I know, poured in. Literally, in these 21 verses, I think I could preach 5 years. And I know we're just going through Walmart on an edge of shopping spree. But it's God's will that we would see ourselves as he sees us. You see how this is starting to form? Would you stand in my forgiveness? That's my will. Epaphras knows that if he can do battle where battle needs to be done, if he can wrestle in prayer, and I know that God's will can be disobeyed in our lives. But Epaphras has got the spirit that is not going to be. Epaphras is believing that we are going to walk in God's will. And we are going to be strengthened by God's will. Oh, some may choose not to load up their cart with the will of God and stand in their cart. It says, don't get in this cart. It says it right here on the front. So I won't get in this cart. But he wants us to stand in the cart, he says. And some won't. I get that. But if we want to be mature and confident of the truth, we will stand in his will. And we will begin to see ourselves as God sees us. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. God's will is that we will be a part of the body. Capital B, body. This is one of those questions I've had people ask me over the last 19 years. What is God's will? And 19 years later, I get to figure it out in this, like this ingredients of God's will. And God says, my will is that you be a part of the body. Load it into the cart. Verse 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so. It's God's will. God's will is that we will walk in our gifting. And I'm not necessarily asking for hands right now. But I believe there's people here who have the gift of prophecy. And God's will is that you walk in it. I think there's people here who have the gift of service. See, that's not as risky, is it? See, at times in my life, I'm thinking, God, why don't you just give me the gift of service? It's easier. I believe there's people here with a gift of teaching. And God's will is that you would walk in it. I believe that there's people here with a gift of leadership. And I believe there's a people here with a gift of mercy. You know what the trouble with the gift of mercy is? Is you're going to be around people that need mercy. It's like, you know what the trouble with being a fire hose is? You always have to go to the fire. You know, if I'm going to ever, I don't want to be a fire hose. They're always being drugged through a burning building. So are you with the gift of mercy. You're always being drugged through a burning building. But I believe there's some here that have the gift of mercy, that want to be and will be and desire to be even by God, because God is maturing you and make you confident in what he's doing in your life. You're okay with being drugged through a burning building. And maybe you're okay with the gift of prophecy. And maybe you're okay with the gift of giving. Because God gives you eyes to see other people's needs. Just so you know, I know there's people here with every one of these gifts. And God says, my will is, if you want to mature and you want to be confident in the truth, you need to step into your gift and you need to let it blossom in your life. It's God's will that we walk in our gifting. Hang on, we're going to move through these next aisles really swiftly. It's God's will that your love would be sincere. It's God's will that you would hate what is evil or sin. It's God's will that we would cling to what is evil or cling to what is good, reject what is evil. It's God's will that we would cling to what is good. God, what do you want me to do? Cling to what is good. Stand in my forgiveness. Operate in your gift. Watch what I do. Watch what I do in those moments as I mature you and I make you confident of the truth. Watch what I can do in your life. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. I don't know if I've ever seen our nation in my 54 years more self-centered than they are in 2019. We are the most self-centered brats that this world has ever known. As a people. And God says, my will is that you would look out for one another. My will is that you would place other people ahead of yourself. My will is that you never lack in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, your spiritual passion in serving God. What's God's will? He wants you to be passionate about serving him. Stand in it. Let me make a point here. Do I understand that standing in God's will give me passion? Don't try to muster up passion and think it'll get you in God's will. Standing in God's will produces passion in us to serve God. Verse 12 says, be joyful in hope. It's God's will that we be patient in affliction. It's God's will that we be faithful in prayer. God says, stand in prayer. Stand in prayer and watch what I'll do. Watch what I do in your life. Watch how I mature you and make you confident of the truth. See, Epaphras knew that. Underdog didn't. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Okay, God, now you're pushing it. See, I want that verse to say, take a 2x4 to those who persecute you and drill half-inch holes in it so you can get a good swing with no air movement. That t-shirt, that saying would make a t-shirt. Splat those who persecute you with a 2x4. I could sell 1 million of those t-shirts. That's right. And God says, I want you to do this. I want you to bless those who persecute you. That's my will. Watch what that'll do. Watch how that'll grow you up. Watch how that will mature you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people anywhere in this world. One of the guys gave testimony about Bill Garner yesterday, and this was his word. He wasn't afraid to come in where I was to get me. He wasn't afraid to come in. Wherever I was, however low I was. And he said, no matter who else I had to look away from in this world, I never had to look away from him when he come in to rescue me. He would come in no matter where I was at. God said, it's my will that you will go in. It's my will that you'll go through the doors of the gates of hell and crash them down and rescue those on the other side. Watch how that will mature you and make you confident that God would never leave nor forsake you. Verse 17 says this, do not repay evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in everyone's eyes. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Just so you know, that's not a license to become unpeaceful at some point. Well, I did what I can do. Now here comes the 2x4. That's not what it's saying. I heard a guy say one time, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. After that, he left no instruction. That's not truth either. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord Almighty. He said, I don't want you to take revenge. One thing I don't want you to put in your basket is revenge. Because revenge is like a parasite. It'll suck the life right out of you. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. And just to make this clear too, the end is just the byproduct. It's not the motivation. Man, I'm going to give this guy a bottle of water and hope he'll burst into flames. That's why man doesn't write the Bible. Watch how that will mature you when you're not overcome by evil, but you overcome evil with good. That's my will, he said. Will you load it in? Stand firm in it. Watch what I'll do in your life. It won't only remove the opposition. It'll give you everything you need. Everything you need to move forward in life. Your 3x5 index card. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. And wait a minute, he is always fighting in prayer for you, that you will stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. On your index card, if you want an Epaphras, and we have Epaphrases here, if you want an Epaphras to fight for you, I want your first and last name, risk it, first and last name on that card. If you want an Epaphras to give you a call and pray with you on the phone, put your phone number on it. Risk it. I will take these cards. I will get them to the Epaphrasis. There's definitely 3 or 4 Epaphrases in this congregation. They spend week after week, night after night, crying out for you, doing battle for you. And then when you leave, I want you to put them in that shopping cart. If you want an Epaphras to pray for you, first and last name. Because we don't want to get a second bill, your blessing. And plus, I think it's riskier. And I want you to take a risk. If you want an Epaphras to call you and just pray with you on the phone for God's will to come alive in your life and that you will stand firm in it and you will see it mature you and make you confident of the truth, then put your phone number on it. There's pens coming around if you don't have a pen. Can I just have some music brought up just for a few moments? Just while this song plays. I'm going to end in prayer really quick. And when you leave here, you're going to put that card. If you want that to happen, you're going to put it in that shopping cart. And I'm going to pick it up. And I'm going to trust it with the Epaphrases that I know in this congregation. And watch what God does in our life. Bring up the music. Just a few moments, just to give you time to write. Pens are coming around if you don't have one. You stand with me today. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, God, I know that in this world there's the riffraff. I know in this world there's the overcat and the Simon Bar Sinister. I know in this world there is the Cadillac-y and I know in this world there's Marblehead General from the planet Granite. I know there's opposition in this world. And I know that you'll remove the opposition, but you got so much more for us than just removing opposition. You want us to stand firm in your will. You want us to stand firm in that forgiveness. You want us to stand firm in that peace that we have with you. You want us to stand firm in that you love us. You want us to stand firm in the fact that you are going to transform us. You want us to stand firm in your will, God.
and watch it grow us up spiritually. Watch it strengthen us. Watch it give us confidence of the truth. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this truth. And Father, as the Epaphrases in this congregation, the ones I know who spend literally at times hours on their knees for those in this room right now, as they cry, labor, and fight for us, I pray that we would be willing that when you open that door, we would stand in it. And they would pray, and we would stand. And they would pray, and we would stand. And we would mature, and they would pray. And we would become confident, and they would pray. Father, thank you so much for these moments together. And Father, may your name be exalted. May the name of Jesus be exalted. Holy Spirit, just hover in and around and over. Father, we're going to leave here today. We are going to do that in like 2 minutes. Some people will be here a little longer. They're going to pick up the chairs. But within 10 or 15, 20 minutes, everybody in this building will step into the world that so desperately needs people that are maturing in the will of God and are confident with the truth. So, Father, as we go into this day, may we find your hands leading and guiding us in a world that so desperately needs Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.